not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price.
We're back. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Second hour coming up here. And before I go any further with this article on terrorism, I want to remind everybody, if you haven't already, okay, or even if you have, dig down into your pocket, into your wallet, into your couch, in the back seat, under the back seat of your car, the change jar, wherever you might. Send in a donation to 1015 South Mays Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You'll be glad you did. You get a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. You can call in at 800-724-2719 and make a pledge, or you can click on republicbroadcasting.org. Just click in the PayPal and make your donation of anywhere from $25 to $1,000, and we appreciate it all. And again, I remind everybody, every dollar that you donate goes to pay some of these back bills that they've been behind on ever since this incident happened back in January. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Feel free to give me a call if you wish. I'm going to continue with this article on terrorism. Political terrorism by a private group Ahmed calls oppositional terror, explaining further that at times these five types converge on each other, starting out in one form, then converging into one or other or more others. Nation-states, like the U.S., focus only on one kind of terrorism, political terrorism that's the least important in terms of cost to human lives and human property, with the highest cost type being state terrorism. The current wars of aggression in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Palestine underscore what Ahmed means. Never mentioned, though, is that political or retail terrorism is a natural response by oppressed or desperate groups when they're victims of far more grievous acts of state terrorism. Can you say insurgent? I mean, imagine for a moment, folks. I had Amy Branham on yesterday, who was talking about the, you know, the soldiers that we have that are over there that, you know, better than 70% of them want out. I had Dahlia Wasfi on my show last Friday, who was talking, she has family in Iraq, and talking about all of the Iraqi people that have been killed, maimed, or injured, or drinking water with depleted uranium in it. I mean, you know, when does this stop? And it's all in the name of bringing democracy. You take a poll of 10 people or 100 people in Iraq, and I wonder how many of them are going to say, we want you out. Do you think it's 70 out of 100, or do you think maybe it's 100 out of 100? I wonder. Oh, again, never mentioned. You never hear it, folks, is that political or retail terrorism is a natural response by oppressed or desperate groups when they're victims of far more grievous acts of state terrorism. Also unmentioned is how to prevent terrorist attacks. Noam Chomsky explains, saying the way to get them to stop attacking us is to stop attacking them. Isn't that interesting? You know, Ron Paul mentioned something to that degree in the Fox debates. Remember that? And Rudy Giuliani took issue with that. I wonder if Rudy Giuliani has read anything about the commission report and eaten his words yet. I wonder. All right, let me continue. Ahmad responded to a question in the book version of his speech with more thoughts on the subject. Asked to define terrorism the way he did in an article he wrote a year earlier titled Comprehending Terror. Oh, my. We have a break again. All right, we'll be back in three, and I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. See you in three. Stick with me.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back, Michael Herzog, American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. You know, I'm reading this article on terrorism. It just occurred to me at the break. I sent off an email to Amy Branham, of whom I had on my show yesterday, and you know, she was asking me some questions about the New World Order or whatever. And it just occurred to me. Could you imagine for a moment? I mean, here we've got this new videotape. They used to put Osama bin Laden on TV anytime they wanted to, you know, stir up some scare or some emotional fear in us. Now they're using some other clown that is basically is American. I don't remember his name right now, but his father's a dentist in San Diego, okay? And could you imagine what kind of a world we'd live in, folks, if everybody knew, if all the dumbed-down Americans were aware of the propaganda that's being used out there, the fear that's being used to manipulate them, if everybody knew their game? They couldn't pull any of this stuff off, okay? Every time they tried to pull anything, we pointed a finger at them and we said, yeah, we know you're doing it. Now, there's a few of us out there, like these listeners that I talk to every day, that know about it, but there's a lot more that don't. Imagine how we can change this nation, folks, if we all knew by waking these people up. And with that thought, let me continue with this. Ahmad responded to a question in the book version of his speech with more thoughts on the subject. He asked to define terrorism the way he did in an article he wrote a year earlier titled Comprehending Terror. He called it the illegal use of violence for the purposes of influencing somebody's behavior, inflicting punishment, or taking revenge, adding it has been practiced on a larger scale globally, both by governments and by private groups. When committed against a state, never asked is what produces it. Further official and even academic definitions of state terrorism exclude what Ahmed calls illegal violence, and that's torture, burning of villages, destruction of entire peoples, and genocide. These definitions are biased against individuals and groups favoring governments committing terrorist acts, or saying it's for self-defense, protecting the, quote, national security, or, get this one, promoting democracy. Is subterfuge baloney, disguising our passion for state-sponsored violence practiced like it's our national pastime. I mean, you know, even back during the, I'll stop for a second and just reflect, even back during the years, you know, of Nixon, of Reagan and so forth, think about how just out of control this administration has gotten in comparison with former administrations. I mean, it's just like the gloves are off and, hey, guess what? We're terrorists. Do something about it. And as in the email that I wrote to Amy Branham, hey, you know what? It's our job to wake people up. If everybody were awake and everybody knew what was going on, they couldn't pull this stuff because they can't do it to us unless we let them. And the only way we let them is by allowing them to manipulate us. Back to this. Ahmed also covered that modern-day third-world fascist governments in countries like Indonesia, Zaire, Iran, South Korea, and elsewhere. They were fully supported by one or the other of the superpowers, and for all the aforementioned ones and most others, that was the U.S. Furthermore, Ahmed notes, religious zealotry has been a major source of terror, but nearly always associated in the West with Islamic groups. In fact, it's a global problem with Jewish terrorists terrorizing an entire people in the Middle East, the Palestinians, and I'm going to change that to Zionists, okay, because a lot of the Jewish population is just as dumbed down as everybody else, okay? They don't have a clue what's going on. Let's see. Crimes against humanity in the name of religion are also carried out by the radical Christians, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and others, not just extremist Muslims that are the only ones reported in the West. In August of 1998, in the Dawn English Language Pakistani newspaper, Ahmed wrote about the power of the U.S. in a unipolar world, saying, who will define the parameters of terrorism or decide where terrorists lurk? Why, none other than the United States, which can from the rooftops of the world set out its claims to be sheriff, judge, and hangman, all at one at the same time. So while publicly supporting justice, the U.S. spurns international law to be the sole decider, acting by the rules of what we say goes, and the law is what we say it is. Further, before the age of George Bush, Ahmed sounded a note of hope, saying that nothing is historically permanent, and I don't think American power is permanent. It itself is very temporary, and therefore its excesses have to be, by definition, impermanent. In addition, he added, America is a troubled country. For many reasons, its economic capabilities do not harmonize with its military ones, and its ruling class will be dominant, is not, the ruling class will be, will to dominate is not quite shared by what its people want. For now, however, the struggle will continue because the U.S. sowed in the Middle East after the Gulf War, but before George Bush became president, and South Asia, signaling Pakistan and Afghanistan, very poisonous seeds. Some have ripened, and others are ripening. An examination of why they were sown, what has grown, and how they should be reaped is indeed, but isn't being done. Missiles won't solve the problem. As is plain as day in mid-2007, with the Bush administration hanging on for dear life in the face of two calamitous wars, the president can't acknowledge you're hopeless and already lost. Isn't that interesting? Well, that's Mr. Ahmed's definition. Let's go on with another definition, Edward S. Herman on terrorism. Herman wrote a lot on terrorism, including his important 1982 book, as relevant today as it was then, The Real Terror Network. It's compromised of U.S.-sponsored authoritarian states following what Herman calls a free market development model for corporate gain gotten through a reign of terror unleashed on any homegrown resistance against it and a corrupted dominant media championing it with language Orwell would love. Back then, justification given was the need to protect the free world from the evils of communism and the supposedly worldwide threat it posed. It was classic Red Scare baloney, but it worked to traumatize the public enough to think that Russians would come unless we headed them off. Never mind, in fact, the Russians had good reason to fear we'd come because bombing them back into the Stone Age was seriously considered. It might have happened, and once it almost did. Remember those days, folks? Herman reviews examples of lesser and mythical terror networks before discussing the real ones. First, though, he defines the language beginning with how Orwell characterized political speech already explained above. He then gives a dictionary definition of terrorism as a mode of governing or of opposing government by intimidation, but notes right off a problem for Western propaganda. Defining terrorism this way includes repressive regimes we support, so it's necessary finding word adaptations, redefining them to exclude our state terrorism and only capture the pretty retail terror of small dissident groups or individuals, or the trumped-up evil empire kind, manufactured out of whole cloth but made to seem real and threatening. Herman then explains how the CIA finessed terrorism by referring to patterns of international terrorism, defining it as follows. Terrorism conducted with the support of a foreign government or organization and or directed against foreign nationals, institutions, or governments. By this definition, internal death squads killing thousands are excluded because they're not international unless a foreign government supports them. That's easy to hide, though, when we're the government, and as easy to reveal or fake when it serves our purpose, saying it was communist-inspired in the 1980s or Islamo-fascist al-Qaeda conducted or supported now. Saying it makes it so even when it isn't, because the power of the message can make us believe Santa Claus is the Grinch who stole Christmas. Herman also explains how harsh terms like totalitarianism and authoritarianism only apply to adversary regimes, while those as bad or worse allied to us are more benignly referred to with terms like moderate autocrats, or some other corrupted manipulation of language able to make the most beastly tyrants look like enlightened, tolerant leaders. In fact, these brutes and their governments compromised the real terror network, and what they did and still do with considerable U.S. help contributed to the rise of the national security state, post-World War II, and the growth of terrorism worldwide supporting it. In a word, it rules by intimidation and violence or the threat of violence. Does the name Augusto Pinochet ring a bell? What about the repressive Shah of Iran, even a harsh theocratic state brought relief from? Herman explained the economics of the NSS. That's just as relevant today as then with some updating of events in the age of George Bush. He denotes NSS leaders imposed a free market development model, creating a favorable investment climate, including subsidies and tax concessions to business, while excluding any largesse to the non-propertied classes. It means human welfare be damned. Social benefits and democracy are incompatible with the needs of business. Unions aren't allowed. A large reserve army of workers can easily replace present ones. And those complaining get their heads knocked off, with terror tactics being the weapon of choice, and woe to those on the receiving end. The Godfather in Washington makes it work with considerable help from the corrupted dominant media selling, quote, free market misery like it's paradise. Their message praises the dogma, turning a blind eye to the ill effects on real people and the terror needed to keep them in line when they resist characterized as protecting, quote, national security and promoting democracy, as already explained. All the while, the U.S. is portrayed as a benevolent, innocent bystander when, in fact, behind the scenes, we pull the strings and tin-pot third-world despots dance to them. But don't expect to learn that from the pages of the New York Times, always in the lead supporting the worst U.S.-directed policies, characterized only as the best and most enlightened. At the end of his account, Herman offers solutions worlds apart from the way the Bush administration rules. They include opposing martial law governments and demanding the U.S. end funding, arming, and training repressive regimes. I'll be back in three. Continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. I'm reading an article on terrorism defined with a lot of different perspectives, and the latest one I'm reading here is Mr. Herman offering his perspectives. His solutions, he also condemns harsh prison sentences, internments and killings, especially against labor leaders. And finally, he cites the right to self-determination for all countries free from foreign interference. That usually means Washington. They must be held to account and compelled to stop bullying and manipulating tiny states and end the notion that they must be client ones or else. The empire. The United States empire. Referring to the Reagan administration in the 1980s, Herman says what applies even more under George Bush. If allowed to get away with it, Washington will continue to escalate the violence anywhere in the world it chooses to preserve military mafia oligarch control, meaning we're boss and what we say goes. Leaders not getting the message will be taught the hard way, meaning state-sponsored terrorism portrayed as benign intervention. Now, let me expound on that. You know, weapons of mass destruction, he's a bad guy. Well, guess what? We put Saddam Hussein in power, okay? And what we're doing to that country over there, killing about 1 million people, you know, with Dahlia Wasfi on talking about her family last week, and all of these people over there are either drinking bottled water or they're drinking RRO water, which allows the depleted uranium to get through. They know they've got a death sentence. We caused that, folks, on a lie. Herman revisited terrorism with co-author Jerry O'Sullivan in 1989 in their book, The Terrorism Industry. The experts and institutions that shape our view of terror, the authors focus on what kinds of victims are important, worthy ones, while others, the unworthy, go unmentioned or are characterized as victimizers, with the corrupted media playing their usual role, trumpeting whatever policies serve the interests of power. The authors state, the West experts and media have engaged in a process of role reversal in handling terrorism, focusing on selected, relatively small-scale terrorists and rebels, including genuine national liberation movements victimized by state-sponsored terror. Whenever they strike back in self-defense, they're portrayed as victimizers. Examples then and now are legion, and the authors draw on them over that particular period with book covers. They also explain the main reason individuals and groups attack us is payback for attacking or oppressing them in a far more grievously. As already noted, the very nature of wholesale state-directed terror is infinitely more harmful than the retail kind, with the order of magnitude being something like comparing massive corporate fraud cheating shareholders and employees to a day's take by a local neighborhood pickpocket. The terrorism industry shows the West needs enemies. Before 1991, the evil empire, Soviet Union, was the lead villain, with others in supporting roles like Libya's Gaddafi, the PLO leader under Arafat, before the Oslo Accords co-opted him, the Sandinistas under Ortega laughably threatening Texas, we were told, and other designees portrayed as archenemies of freedom because they won't sell out their sovereignty to rules made in Washington. Spewing this baloney takes a lot of chutzpah, and manufactured demonizing generously served up by state-sponsored propaganda campaigns, dutifully trumpeted by the dominant media stenographers for power. Their message is powerful enough to convince people Western states and nuclear-powered Israel can't match ragtag, marauding terrorist bands coming to the neighborhoods near us unless we flatten countries they may be coming from. People believe it. And that's why state-sponsored terrorism can be portrayed as self-defense, even though it's pure scare tactic baloney. Then you got to ask yourself, folks, okay, people believe it. Now, we don't, us, you know, the RBN listeners, we don't believe it because we know better. So start thinking about this over the weekend. What does it take? What's it going to take to get that light bulb to go off in the dumbed-down American's brain to make them realize that this is going on right in their face, and the people that are causing this are laughing at them behind their back because they're getting away with it. It's up to us to rip back that curtain. We rip back that curtain and we show these people, okay, what's really going on. I mean, imagine for a moment, if you will, 20 million of us marching on Washington. You know, they won't impeach George Bush. They won't impeach Dick Cheney. But what would happen if about 20 million of us were marching on Washington? Do you think that would put the fear of God into these guys? I wonder. Let's continue here. The authors stress the Western politicization process decides who qualifies as targeted. And the basic rule has been, if connected with leftists, violence may be called terrorist. But when it comes from rightist groups, it's always self-defense. Again, it's classic Orwell, who'd be smiling, saying, I told you so, if he were still here. He also understood terrorism serves a larger service. Overall, it's to get the public terrified enough to go along with any agenda governments have in mind, like wars of aggression, huge increases in military spending at the expense of the social services getting less, and the loss of civil liberties by repressive policies engineered on a phony pretext of increasing your safety. In fact, being harmed. Now, that brings up another thing. You know, it was just pointed out to me yesterday by Chris that Google Earth has got, you know, this new thing. You can go into five different cities, San Francisco, I think, New York, Los Angeles. I think there's five different cities where they've got cameras all over the place. And you can go into a specific website, and I don't know what it is, on Yahoo, I think, and actually zoom in to the cameras that they've got set up. And you could actually look at somebody going into an adult bookstore. You can look at the license plate on their vehicle. Okay? This is supposedly to protect us, but actually, it's to interfere with our privacy. We'll be back in three. This is Michael Herzog of The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, and I'm reading on terrorism defined. You know what's interesting is they're putting these definitions of terrorism, and they passed the laws regarding terrorism with the Patriot Act and, you know, what we can't do without being labeled a terrorist. And everything that they're telling us we can't do, ironically, they are doing. Isn't that interesting? Oh, and by the way, this Google Earth, it was in the Drudge Report yesterday. Google Earth... I guess you go in on Google Earth and you go into the live Earth portion in San Francisco, Denver, Colorado, Las Vegas, a couple other cities. You could literally go right in there and zoom into down as far as a license plate and be able to read it on an automobile. Now, you can't do that live on Google Earth, but I'm sure that whoever installed those cameras can. It gives you a comfortable feeling, doesn't it? Let's continue here. The authors also note different forms of manufactured terrorism, such as inflating or inventing a menace out of whole cloth. It's also used in the private sector to weaken or destroy union leaders, activists, and political enemies, sometimes in collusion with agents of the state. The authors call all of the above, quote, the terrorism industry of institutes and experts who formulate and channel analysis and information on terrorism in accordance with Western demands, unquote. Often in cahoots with Western governments, intelligence agencies, and corporate conservative foundations and funders. It's a closed system designed to reinforce state propaganda. to program the public mind to go along with any agenda of institutions of power or any agenda that the institutions of power have in mind, never beneficial to our own. Yet the message is so potent that they're able to convince us it is. It's an astonishing achievement going on every day, able to make us believe almost anything, and the best way to beat it is don't listen. I knew there was a reason why I threw my TV out. And as I mentioned before in other shows, I threw it out, and I was gone for, I don't know, a few months, and finally I went and got another one. But the only reason I really watch TV anymore is just to watch a ball game. I'm a Cubs fan. And other than that, or a movie, I'll watch a movie here now and again. And even that, you know, the commercials, when you see the commercials, you can't go through watching a movie or watching a ball game without seeing commercials, you know, lambasting you with different diseases that they've invented to try to sell you a drug. And, of course, you have to ask your doctor if it's right for you because he's the expert, okay? You're not the expert anymore. You know, if you've got twitchy knee syndrome, you better ask your doctor if whatever the name of that drug is right for you. And don't forget about those side effects that it causes, because those side effects, they've got another drug lined up for you to take. And then don't forget to ask your doctor. See the vicious circle going on here? And then you have to ask yourself about the cost of it. At any rate, you know, this article on terrorism, it's got many, many different people. Noam Chomsky's the next guy up in line that's giving their definitions of terrorism. And frankly, I can't even get through this whole article today, but I'll just highlight a couple points of it here. And this one is Noam Chomsky. So with lots of dominant media help, Reagan pursued his terror wars in Central America with devastating results people at home heard little about. If they read the New York Times or watched the evening news, suppressing the toll Chomsky reveals, as have others. Over 50,000 people were slaughtered in El Salvador, over 100,000 corpses in Guatemala just in the 1980s, and over 200,000, including those killed earlier and since. A mere 11,000 in Nicaragua that got off relatively easily because the people had an army to fight back, while in El Salvador and Guatemala the army was the enemy. The tally shows Ronald Reagan gets credit for over 160,000 Central American deaths alone. And you know what, folks? Let me interject here. I'll bet he didn't even know it. I'll bet he was suffering from the first effects of Alzheimer's disease. They had him on medication, and I'll bet you George H.W. Bush was behind it. What do you bet? Let's see. Tally shows Ronald Reagan gets credit for over 160,000 Central American deaths alone, but not ordinary ones. They came Pol Pot style with extensive torture, rape, mutilation, disappearance, and, as I turn the page here, political assassinations against members of the clergy, including El Salvador's Archbishop Oscar Romero, gunned down by an assassin while celebrating mass inside San Salvador's Hospital de la Divina Floridencia. His voice for the voiceless concerns of the poor and oppressed and courageous opposition to death squad mass killing couldn't be tolerated in a part of a world ruled by wealthy elites, getting plenty of support from some of the same names in Washington now ravaging Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, I wonder. I really do. You know, back in the Reagan administration, I was a Reagan fan. Now, I wasn't really fond of his movies, but because he wasn't that great of an actor, but I liked him. You know, I mean, he had charisma, and at the time I was a Republican because I was dumbed down, didn't know any better. And during his stint in office, you know, all the world's a stage and all the players are part of the game. Ronald Reagan, it seems now in retrospect, was nothing more than just a figurehead with George H.W. pulling the strings behind his back. What do you think? I don't know. It's interesting, but hindsight being 2020, back during that particular point in time, I thought he was a great guy. Shows you how dumbed down I was, huh? Well, let me thumb through this a little bit further and see what I can come up with, if anything. I guess the moral is to... Oh, Michael Chesedovsky on the War on Terrorism. I'll go into that one real quick. No one has been more prominent or outspoken since the 9/11 attacks in the U.S. than scholar, author, activist, and global research website editor Michael Chesedovsky. He began writing that evening, publishing an article the next day titled, "Who is Osama bin Laden?" There's another good name for you. How many of you out there think that Osama bin Laden died 5 years ago? I do. And that's why they're using this guy that was born in San Diego now as the latest terrorist. I don't know. You know, that tape that they came out with the other day. Perhaps being the first administration critic to courageously challenge the official account of what took place that day, Shafzadeh then updated his early account September 10, 2006 in an article titled The Truth Behind 9/11, Who is Osama Bin Laden? Shafzadeh is a thorough, relentless researcher making an extraordinary effort to get at the truth, no matter how ugly or disturbing. Here's a summary of what he wrote that was included in his 2005 book titled America's War on Terrorism in the Wake of 9/11. He calls a complete fabrication based on the illusion that one man, Osama bin Laden, from a cave in Afghanistan and hospital bed in Pakistan, outwitted the $40 billion a year American intelligence apparatus. He called it instead what it is, in fact, a pretext for permanent new world order. Wars of conquest serving the interests of Wall Street, the U.S. military-industrial complex, and all other corporate interests profiting hugely from a massive scheme, harming the public interest in the near term and potentially all humanity unless it is stopped in time. On the morning of 9/11, the Bush administration didn't miss a beat, telling the world Al-Qaeda attacked the World Trade Center and Pentagon, meaning Osama bin Laden was the main culprit, case closed without even the benefit of a forensic and intelligence analysis, piecing together all potential helpful information. And let me interject here. What's scary is that, yes, without even the benefit of a forensic and intelligence analysis, and remember we've got Rudy Giuliani that's running for president now that was a former prosecutor that was a culprit in covering up the evidence, so we couldn't really do a true investigation because he had all of the metal shipped out to China. And this guy's up on the platform challenging Ron Paul. Can you believe it? What a circus. There was no need to, there was no need to because, as Shafzadeh explained, that same 9/11 evening at 9:30 p.m., a war cabinet was formed, integrated by a select number of top intelligence and military advisors. At 11 p.m., at the end of that historic White House meeting, the War on Terrorism was officially launched, and the rest is history. Shafzadeh continued, the decision was announced straight away to wage war against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in retribution for the 9/11 attacks, with news headlines the next day asserting with certainty state sponsorship responsibility for the attacks connected to them. The dominant media, in lockstep, called for military retaliation against Afghanistan, even though no evidence proved the Taliban government responsible, because in fact it was not, and we knew it. 4 weeks later, on October 7th, a long-planned war of illegal aggression began. Afghanistan was bombed and then invaded by U.S. forces working in partnership with their new allies, the United Islamic Front for the Salvation of Afghanistan, or so-called Northern Alliance warlords. The earlier repressive rule was so extreme it gave rise to the Taliban in the first place and has now made them resurgent. Shafzadeh further explained that the public doesn't realize that a large-scale theater war is never planned and executed in a matter of weeks. This one, like all others, was months in the making, needed only what CENTCOM Commander General Tommy Franks called a, quote, terrorist massive casualty-producing event, unquote, to arouse enough public anger for the Bush administration to launch it after declaring their, quote, war on terrorism. Shafzadeh, through thorough and exhaustive research, exposed it as a fraud. He's been on top of the story ever since, uncovering the myth of an outside enemy and the threat of Islamic terrorists that became the cornerstone and core justification of the Bush administration's military doctrine. It allowed Washington to wage permanent aggressive wars, beginning with Afghanistan and Iraq, to ignore international law, and to repeal civil liberties and constitutional government. Through repression laws like the Patriot and Military Commissions Act, a key objective throughout has and continues to be Washington's quest to control the world's energy supplies, primarily oil, starting in the Middle East, where 2/3 of the known reserves are located. What a coincidence, huh? Oh, my. Towards that end, the Bush administration created a fictitious outside enemy threat with which no war on terrorism could exist, and no foreign wars could be waged. Excuse me. Shafzadeh exposed the linchpin of the whole scheme. He uncovered evidence that Al-Qaeda was a creation of the CIA going back to the Soviet-Afghan war era, and that in the 1990s, Washington conscientiously supported Osama bin Laden, where at the same time placing him on the FBI's most wanted list as the world's foremost terrorist. He explained that the CIA, since the 1980s and earlier, actively supports international terrorism covertly, and that on September 10, 2001, enemy number one, bin Laden, was in a Rawalpindi, Pakistan military hospital, confirmed on CBS News by Dan Rather. He easily could have been arrested, but he wasn't. because we had a better purpose in mind for him. We had a better purpose in mind for America's best-known fugitive, to give a public face to the war on terrorism. That meant keeping bin Laden free to do it. If he didn't exist, we'd have to invent him. But that could have been arranged as well. Oh, my. The Bush administration's national security doctrine needs enemies, the way all empires on the march do. Today, enemy number one rests on the fiction of bin Laden-led Islamic terrorists threatening the survival of Western civilization. In fact, however, Washington uses Islamic organization like Islamic Jihad as a key instrument of U.S. military intelligence operations in the Balkans and the former Soviet Union, while at the same time blaming them for the 9/11 attacks, calling them a threat to America. Who are these people? You know, which think tanks is it that thinks this stuff up? You know, they all sit around a table and all these guys, you know, they toss out these ideas on the table and do they get an award for which idea is the most absurd or the most evil or diabolical? I wonder. And Henry Kissinger, Heinz Kissinger, sits into a lot of these meetings, you know, and you can visualize yourself sitting in one of those meetings, okay? And you got all these guys with their suits, ties, and cigars going. You got Heinz Kissinger sitting at the head of the table, you know? I mean, I really think that they must laugh and give bonus points to these guys for the more diabolical idea that they can come up with. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Just makes you... If everything good in us... In RBN listeners, and I include myself because I'm an RBN listener too. If everything good in us, you know, love, compassion, empathy, all the good things that God put on the planet Earth in the form of good human beings, if these people are the exact opposite, and they must be, okay, because you couldn't, at least I couldn't, and I know, you know, you listeners out there couldn't, we couldn't sit at a table like that and have them toss some of the diabolical and evil, malicious ideas out. That they do. Think about it. You know? I mean, and how do they sleep at night? I mean, do they watch these commercials as well? You know, do they watch the doctor when he's talking about the little butterfly landing on you to take the, what is it, Ambien or whatever it is so they can sleep at night? I mean, obviously, when Laura Knight Jancic came on and she was talking about psychopathy, these guys don't have a conscience. They couldn't have a conscience. If they had a conscience, they couldn't do the things that they do. And then you ask yourself another question, or at least I do, you know, how much money do these people really need? You know, and we're not even talking about millions. We're talking about billions of dollars. I mean, are they having some kind of a contest and there's a little chart up on the board and everybody says, well, I got $182 billion. You know, I mean, what is it? Are they keeping score? I don't get it. Let me finish this up here. September 11, 2001 was indeed a threat to America, but one coming from within the real enemies. They want to undermine democracy and our freedoms, not preserve them. Now, we know that, folks, okay, because they've Bush has signed the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Bill, okay, the Patriot Act, and the whole time he's going around duplicitly stating, oh, we're bringing democracy to the rest of the world. But what about here? We're certainly not bringing democracy here. We're undermining it by slashing every one of the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, taking our freedoms away from us and smiling in our face on mainstream TV when he does it. How sick does this guy make you? And snickering when he does it as well. September 11, 2001 was indeed a threat to America, but one coming from within the real enemies. They want to undermine democracy and our freedoms, not preserve them, in pursuit of their own imperial interest for world domination by force through endless foreign wars and establishment of a locked-down national homeland security police state. They're well along towards it, and if they succeed, America as we envision it no longer will exist. Only by exposing the truth, as I mentioned to you earlier in the show, folks, only by exposing the truth and resisting what's planned and already happening will there be any hope once again to make this nation a land of the free and the home of the brave. With a new birth of freedom run by a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, the way at least one former president thought it should be. Well, and I could think of a future possible president that thinks that way as well, and that's Ron Paul. He votes constitutional on every issue. Do you think it's important to keep him in there, keep him in that debate? Just think, the more exposure this guy gets, folks, okay, the more popular he becomes. And you can watch how popular he's getting just by the evil looks on the faces of all of the shills, like Hannity and Limbaugh and Combs, all these guys that are on there, they're doing everything they can do to undermine him, to get him off of there. They don't want him there because they don't want you knowing the truth. But, the RBN listeners, we all know the truth. But what they don't want is they don't want the dumbed-down, propagandized people who look to them as the, quote, experts and give them their ideas. They give the dumbed-down American public. They tell them how to think, okay? And these people are scared to death because they don't want them thinking other way than how they tell them to think. Think about it. Wow. So, the more exposure that Ron Paul gets, the more dangerous he becomes, the more scared that these people become. And that's up to us, folks. Okay, and this is where it comes into your play. You know, and you start talking to your neighbor. You start talking to your friends. You start talking about your colleagues at work. You start talking to the guy at the grocery store about Ron Paul. We'll be back with a few final comments in 3 minutes. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, on this Friday afternoon.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, we're back. Final segment, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. You know, I've been talking about terrorism, reading this article to you pretty much for, better than half the show, and it's kind of some negative stuff, and I want to leave you with some positive stuff to go into the weekend. I want you to imagine a world, if you would, where Ron Paul's the president, okay? And Ron Paul votes constitutionally on every issue. And you know how they come into the office and they say, well, the first 100 days we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. The first 100 days that Ron Paul comes into office, the first thing he does is he eliminates the IRS. Could you imagine the roar that would go up in this country? Okay? He gets rid of the Trans-Texas Corridor, puts a border up, stops the illegals from coming in. I can visualize all this stuff happening. What a thought. Man, will the American people be clapping? I wonder. Let's go to Rachel in Colorado. Rachel, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Good.
What's going on in your world, Rachel?
I'm just concerned about Ron Paul.
You are?
Yes, because he's such a wonderful man.
He's such a wonderful man that you want to guard him 24/7.
Right.
And then you look at these people, and did you watch the debates, Rachel?
Yes.
And you see these guys come on, these duplicitous, you know, lying, thieving, bastards, Giuliani and Cain. I mean, just sick. I mean, you know, and the people that like us that are awake, that can read them, it's eight
right.
days to Sunday, we can tell in their body language, their demeanor, just by virtue of what they spew forth, that they're duplicitous liars.
I know.
And you got this one guy, Ron Paul, standing up there, telling the truth.
I know.
And you've got all the shills in there, the Hannitys, you know, and Limbaugh, and all these people are trying.
All of them.
They're trying to discredit the heck out of him, trying to get him out of the debates because they're so afraid of the truth.
That's right.
And the positive thing is, Rachel, the more exposure he gets, the more scared they become.
Right.
Yeah. And
the thing I'm reading. Have you ever seen the Rumor Mill News?
Rumor Mill News. No, I haven't.
Well, it's a informative thing that's on the website.
Oh, you mean on the internet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Rumor Mill News. Okay,
yes.
I'll write that down.
Now listen to this.
Okay, go ahead.
Congressman Ron Paul is indeed unique for a presidential candidate. His message resonates with most informed Americans, perhaps too well. What really bugs the powerful forces arrayed against Paul are his recommendations to dismantle the Federal Reserve's banking system ripoff. Ron Paul has also warned of the coming outsourcing of yet another 40 million American jobs overseas. Among other things, America may yet outsource itself into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the powers that be and everything warn that he will soon be targeted for destruction by the war leaders of America, as he represents a direct threat to their planned destruction of the United States from a constitutional republic into a fascist corporate state ruled by their vast multinational corporations, utilizing the U.S. federal government as their means of enforcement through terror of the American people.
Okay, well, I got to stop you there because we're about out of time, dear.
But this is what is so.
All right, well, let me stop you. Let me explain something. The first thing they're going to try to do is what they do to everybody else, and that is that they're going to try to discredit him.
Right.
And you know, as time draws closer, and he gets more and more well known and more exposure. Okay, at
right.
that point in time, yeah, maybe we about to step up on a 24/7 guard. But in the meantime, okay,
right,
he's our greatest hope for a free country.
I know it.
All right, I got to run, dear. Thanks for the call.
Okay,
I appreciate you. I've written that down. Okay, so have a good weekend. All right, stay positive.
Okay.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. At the end of another week. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Stattmiller. He'll be on with a good show, and I'll see you Monday. Bye.
It's true.